Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 30th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
COVID-19 cases in America approach 150,000 as infections continue to climb.
The White House extends social distancing guidelines through April, now targeting June to get back to work.
U.S. deaths approach 2,500 as one health official warns fatalities could hit 200,000.
A naval hospital ship comes to New York today to help in the coronavirus crisis, plus a poll shows President Trump and Joe Biden in a tight race for the White House. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, it was a bittersweet weekend for Knicks fans in an update on the status of the Olympic Games in Tokyo.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Global stocks are swinging between gains and losses as the death toll from the coronavirus continues to climb. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're down 5 points now. Dow futures down 74. NASDAQ futures now little change. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. CAC in Paris down 1%. FTSE 100 down 0.9%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.6%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 13/32, yield 0.63%. The yield on the 2-year 0.25%. NYMEX crude oil down 4.4% or 95 cents at $20.57 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $8.30 at $16.45.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1068 against the dollar. The yen is at 107.85. Nathan.
And Karen, the death toll across the country continues to climb as the coronavirus outbreak spreads. U.S. fatalities now stand at 2,400. We have Bloomberg team coverage on the fallout now, beginning in New York with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John?
Nathan, deaths in New York State have eclipsed 1,000 as infections near 60,000. Governor Andrew Cuomo says hospitalizations in the state are doubling every 6 days.
They're still going up towards an apex, but the rate of the doubling is slowing.
More than half of the cases in the state are in New York City. 32,000 city residents are infected. Nearly 700 have died. I'm John Tucker in New York. Now here's Jeff Bellinger with more from Monmouth Junction, New Jersey.
The Garden State is number two in the country for confirmed infections. Out of 1,300 cases, 160 have died. Social distancing measures remain in place, and Governor Phil Murphy says other restrictions are also on the table.
There are stronger steps we can take. We consider them regularly, and we will take them.
Jersey City, a close neighbor of New York, currently has the most infections in the state with 330. I'm Jeff Bellinger in New Jersey. Now here's Martin DeCaro from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Cases in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia have passed 2,500. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan says the state still lacks ventilators, tests, and other supplies.
It's continuing to grow at really kind of frightening paces, and we think it's going to be worse in 2 weeks, not better.
66 residents at a nursing home in the state tested positive for the virus over the weekend. So far, deaths in Maryland, Virginia, and the district number 50. I'm Martin DeCaro in Washington. Now here's Janet Wu from our Bloomberg 1061 newsroom in Boston.
The latest numbers bring Massachusetts cases to just under 5,000. Four more people have died, raising the death toll to 48. Mayor Marty Walsh announced a first case in Boston's homeless population. The city is now racing to convert private buildings to treatment centers for the homeless with 550 beds. I'm Janet Wu in Boston. Now here's Ed Baxter in our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
California is stocking up on ventilators and fixing outdated ones in anticipation of a shortage at hospitals in the coming days. Governor Gavin Newsom said over the weekend the federal government sent 170 broken ventilators from the national stockpile. Engineers at Bloom Energy in San Jose are racing to get them refurbished. In Southern California, people were kept off beaches and hiking trails that normally would have been swamped with visitors. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. The spread of the virus has President Trump abandoning his push to get America back to work by Easter. He's extending guidelines for social distancing through all of April and targeting June to start ramping up activity.
We can expect that by June 1st, we will be well on our way to recovery. We think by June 1st, a lot of great things will be happening.
The president now says mid-April, right around Easter, will be the most deadly time for the outbreak.
The modeling estimates that the peak in death rate is likely to hit in 2 weeks. So, I'll say it again. The peak, the highest point of death rate, remember this, is likely to hit in 2 weeks.
The president warns that 100,000 or more Americans could die from the virus.
And some White House health officials say that figure could be even higher.
You know, I would say between 100 and 200,000.
200,000 possible deaths from the virus, according to Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Still, he tells CNN any estimate at this point is premature.
I just don't think that we really need to make a projection when it's such a moving target that you could so easily be wrong.
Right now, the country with the highest death toll is Italy. So far, there are more than 10,000 fatalities in that country.
Projections for the U.S. without efforts to mitigate the disease call for 1.6 to 2.2 million fatalities. Deborah Birx is a State Department immunologist advising Vice President Mike Pence.
Together as Americans, we're going to bring down the number of infections so we don't have 2.2 million deaths or 1.6 million deaths, but really work very hard to keep this in the lowest numbers we possibly can.
Doctors Birx and Fauci both support the White House extension of social distancing measures. Both had pushed back against reopening the economy by Easter.
So far, we have seen more than 2,400 deaths in the U.S. Worldwide fatalities stand at 34,000, with 10,000 in Italy and 7,000 in Spain. Infections across the globe number 720,000, while 150,000 have recovered. After New York and New Jersey, California has the most U.S. cases, followed by Michigan, Massachusetts, Florida, and Washington State.
And a programming note, stay tuned for a conversation with James Bullard. We speak with the St. Louis Fed president about the central bank's unprecedented moves to stem the fallout from COVID-19. That's coming up at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. S&P futures now up about 3 points. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has the latest on efforts to stem the tide of the coronavirus. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Mayor Bill de Blasio is ready to welcome the Naval Floating Hospital, the Comfort, set to arrive today in New York City to assist in the coronavirus crisis. De Blasio says maintenance had to be done on the city's docks in order to receive the ship.
They weren't going to be able to dock unless the dock was dredged to allow for a ship of this size. The operation was supposed to take 2 weeks. The folks at EDC, working with the Army Corps of Engineers and the State Department of Environmental Conservation, they got the job done in 8 days.
The ship that will arrive in New York Harbor has 1,000 beds and 12 operating rooms to take on non-coronavirus patients and relieve pressure on hospitals in the city. Meanwhile, New York passed a grim milestone. Over 1,000 people have died from the virus, and more than two-thirds of the deaths are in New York City. In New Jersey, there are more than 2,300 new cases and 21 more deaths. President Trump had said that he may quarantine New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. However, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says the state already has strong coronavirus measures in place.
We are pounding the table morning, noon, and night. Stay home, stay home, stay home. So if there's another message point we can add to that, we're happy to add to that.
Murphy spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. A drug President Trump backed as a possible game changer in the fight against the pandemic received an emergency use designation from U.S. regulators. The Health and Human Services Department accepted 30 million doses of the malaria drug hydrochloroquine from Novartis. Democratic presidential frontrunner Joe Biden says that he feels frustration with the U.S. coronavirus response. Biden on NBC's Meet the Press says that it's his role to say what he believes President Donald Trump needs to do.
He should stop thinking out loud and start thinking deeply. He should start listening to the scientists before he speaks. He should listen to the health experts.
Meet the Press can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg Radio. Meanwhile, a new poll shows President Trump and former Vice President Biden in a tight race for the White House. According to a Washington Post ABC News poll, Trump closed a 7-point deficit from February and is in a statistical tie with Biden. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The International Olympic Committee has hinted at when to reschedule the games in Tokyo. News came much quicker than their official postponement last week. A top aide, John Coates, told a Japanese newspaper the games originally scheduled for July 24th are being targeted to kick off July 23rd, 2021. IOC President Thomas Bach sent an inspirational message to athletes over the weekend.
Let me start with the good news first. We all will be able to celebrate the Olympic Games Tokyo 2020, even if it's only in 21. But finally, you can be sure that you can make your Olympic dream coming true.
So far, estimates are reaching $150 million in lost revenue from just the vendors alone. Not much to cheer about for Knicks fans of late. The team struggles on the court, the season being suspended, and over the weekend the team announced owner James Dolan has tested positive for the coronavirus. He's showing mild symptoms and in isolation. Something for fans to cheer about, however, Knicks legend Walt Clyde Frazier turned 75 on Sunday.
Chamberlain trying to get in on the read. Can't, loses the ball, and it's stolen by Frazier. The Busher picks it up, gives to Frazier.
For anybody watching, this is the way to play defense.
Knicks TV with the sound of 50 years ago. It was Game 7, 1970. They beat the Lakers to win their first of two championships. And a pair of Big East hoopsters are turning pro. St. John's L.J. Figueroa and Georgetown's Mackie McClung both declared for the draft on Sunday. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan.
And Rob Visa is telling its global roster of Olympic and Paralympic hopefuls that their sponsorships will be extended into next year. It is the first clear commitment by a major sponsor to extend support after the postponement of the Tokyo Games. Visa's team includes 96 athletes across 27 sports, including soccer star Megan Rapinoe and gymnast Simone Biles. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Daybreak is brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and advisors dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are slipping, and U.S. stock index futures have been jumping around as investors weigh a weekend full of negative coronavirus news against the stimulus measures that triggered a bounce in risk assets last week. The dollar rebounding with treasuries. Oil is sinking. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are up 3.5 points. Dow futures down 20, NASDAQ futures up 18, the DAX in Germany is down 0.2%, 10-year Treasury up 11/32nds, yield 0.63%, the yield on the 2-year 0.25%. NYMEX crude oil down 4.6% on 98 cents at $20.53 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $9.30 at $16.44.90 an ounce. The euro, 1.1062 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2397. And the yen is at 107.97. The VIX at 64.70. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, there are new numbers on COVID-19 from medical experts that give a grim prediction in the fight against the virus. Bloomberg's John Tucker has more in this live report.
And Michael, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases Director Anthony Fauci says U.S. coronavirus deaths could reach as high as 200,000. The U.S. has almost 150,000 confirmed infections with more than 2,400 deaths. That's according to the running total from Johns Hopkins University. About 56% of all new COVID-19 infections in the country are coming from the greater New York area. And President Trump abruptly abandoned his ambition to return American life to normal by Easter. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you very much, John. The Tokyo Olympics, delayed because of the coronavirus pandemic, could now start in July of next year. According to NHK, the International Olympic Committee and Japanese organizers are planning to set the opening date on July 23, 2021. New York Knicks owner James Dolan has tested positive for coronavirus. In a statement, Dolan, who also owns the NHL's Rangers, is in self-isolation and is experiencing little to no symptoms. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 6:20 now on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Lee Farage joins us now, head of macro strategy at State Street. It's just a couple of days ago, Lee, that the president was talking about reopening at least some business in the U.S. by Easter. Now we have the announcement last night that social distancing measures are going to stay in effect probably through the end of next month. Is that the right call?
I mean, I think it's very difficult at this stage to say what's the right and the wrong call, but I think the evidence from other countries is if we're going to get on top of this and we're going to, you know, start stabilizing the numbers or at least slow the growth of new cases, then yeah, isolation is the way to do it. Social distancing is the way to do it. We look at Italy. You know, the number of new cases has stopped going up. It's constant, or you know, between 5,000 and 6,000 a day now, whereas before it was going up constantly. Spain, we see a similar pattern. So there is evidence that with social distancing, we can start to slow the growth of it first off, and then hopefully get on top of it even more. So I think it probably is the right call. Yes.
With the stimulus just signed into law, the $2.2 trillion stimulus measure, do you think that will be enough to weather the economic blow that's going to come through social distancing?
Probably not. I mean, I think it's probably an interim package. You know, we've never experienced anything like this before. I mean, I still think, you know, we're probably social distancing is probably going to go on beyond April 30th. You know, again, evidence from other countries would suggest that. You know, we're seeing more and more announcements around the world of cities going into partial or at least full lockdown. We don't know the economic impacts of this. I think, you know, we've seen the first round of fiscal stimulus on the basis of it around the world. There's probably going to have to be more. I mean, you know, how long companies can survive? Can we get the credit to them? There's evidence, you know, in the UK, for example, that the credit isn't getting through to companies in time. So there might have to be more. And I think people, you know, it's a very, very fluid situation. It's very movable. Everyone's sort of playing blind to some extent because we've never witnessed anything like this. So I think, you know, the key thing here is to be flexible. I think that is the only thing you can be, is be flexible, be open-minded, and if you need more, do more.
We have seen at least some economic impact now with that record 3.3 million unemployment filings last week. Where do you see the hit to the economy going at this point?
In terms of growth?
Yeah.
Again, you know, the range of forecasts is very high. We don't forecast GDP per se. You know, we're more market strategists, but the range of forecasts is so high, and that's what's given the market uncertainty. I mean, I think, you know, the range for Q2 growth, you have to think for the year overall it's going to be negative. I think the key for me is do we get growth in Q3, or do we stay, you know, does the social distancing go into Q3 and mean that we don't get growth in Q3? So we're going to get that V-shaped recovery everyone's talking about, or is it going to be U-shaped? You know, I found Fed Governor Kaplan's comments on Friday very interesting. Not so much where he said the peak in unemployment would be, you know, in the low to mid-teens, but the fact he thinks that unemployment at the end of the year will be 7-8%. That surprised me, that by the end of the year, they still think unemployment will be more than double where it was at the start of this thing. So that implies to me the Fed is starting to take a more, they're worried about hysteresis, about the damage done to the economy by the shutdown. Even when we come back, are there companies that don't come back? Or, you know, is there spending that doesn't come back? And that's what that sort of unemployment rate, 7-8% at the end of the year, implies to me. And I think that surprised me from Kaplan, I must admit.
Oh, we only have a few seconds left here. Do you see market stabilization coming anytime soon?
No, I think there's too much uncertainty. I mean, I'm not certain, you know, I think we're going to see volatility. I still have a bit of a negative bias towards equities. The bottom may be in, but I think we'll revisit it. But I think volatility is going to stay high while the uncertainty over the virus stays high.
Thanks, Lee. Good talking with you this morning. Lee Farage is head of macro at State Street. And looking at the futures contracts this morning, they are mixed, starting to move a touch lower now. We have seen futures swinging between gains and losses this morning. Right now, S&P futures are down 4 points. Dow futures down 81 points. NASDAQ futures lower by 1 point. The 10-year is 11 and 30 seconds higher with the yield 0.63, just shy of 0.64%, the two-year yield 0.25%. This is Bloomberg. And at 6:25 on Wall Street, Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty. NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130
to Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991
to Boston.
Bloomberg 1061
to San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960
to the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119
and around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are swinging between gains and losses after President Trump abandoned his push to get America back to work by Easter. The White House is extending guidelines for social distancing through all of April and targeting June to start ramping up activity.
We can expect that by June 1st, we will be well on our way to recovery. We think by June 1st, a lot of great things will be happening.
And the president now says mid-April, right around Easter, will be the most deadly time for the outbreak.
The modeling estimates that the peak in death rate is likely to hit in 2 weeks. So I'll say it again. The peak, the highest point of death rate, remember this, is likely to hit in 2 weeks.
The president warns that 100,000 or more Americans could die from the virus, and some White House health officials say that figure could be even higher.
You know, I would say between 100 and 200,000.
200,000 possible deaths, according to Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, though he tells CNN any estimate at this point is premature.
I just don't think that we really need to make a projection when it's such a moving target that you could so easily be wrong.
Confirmed infections in the U.S. are nearing 150,000, with more than 2,400 dead. For the very latest, we're joined live by Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. More than half of all new COVID-19 infections are coming from the greater New York area. The state has nearly 60,000 cases. New Jersey is number two, while California is third. Worldwide fatalities stand at 34,000. Infections across the globe number 720,000, while 150,000 have recovered. Deaths and cases continue to climb in Italy and Spain, where fatalities now number more than 10,000 and 6,000, respectively. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. And S&P futures, they're higher. Again, they've been jumping around, up about 3 points. Dow futures down 22, and NASDAQ futures up 18. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 0.65%. The yield on the two-year at 0.25%. NYMEX crude oil is down 5% on $1.06 to $20.44 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% on $9.10 at $16.45 an ounce. The euro 1.1060 against the dollar. British pound 1.2384. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. At 6:33 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr for more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Help is arriving in New York City. A Navy hospital ship, the Comfort, will dock in the city today. The ship will not treat people with the coronavirus, but will help ease the burden on hospitals in the city. The ship has 1,000 beds and 12 operating rooms to take on non-coronavirus patients. Meanwhile, Mayor Bill de Blasio says Central Park will be the site of a field hospital.
We're going to be using every place we need to use to help people. Mount Sinai Hospital, working with a relief organization named Samaritan's Purse, is creating a 68-bed field hospital. So this is the kind of thing you will see now as this crisis develops and deepens.
New York passed a grim milestone. Over 1,000 people have died from the virus, and more than two-thirds of the deaths are in New York City. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is slamming President Trump's initial response to the pandemic. Pelosi on CNN.
What the president, his denial at the beginning was deadly. His delaying of getting equipment to where it continues, his delaying getting equipment to where it's needed, is deadly.
That drew a sharp rebuke from Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on Fox.
She's blaming the president of the United States for people dying because of the way he's led the country. That's the most shameful, disgusting statement by any politician in modern history.
Congregants of megachurches in Louisiana, Ohio, and Florida attended services in defiance of social distancing orders on Sunday morning. Even as politicians and doctors warn of coronavirus's spread in the U.S., in Tampa, Florida, a church has angered a community by live-streaming services with congregants standing shoulder to shoulder. Joe Biden says he feels frustration with the U.S. coronavirus response. Biden says that it's his role to say what he believes President Trump needs to do. The former vice president said that if he were in office, he would be using the Defense Production Act far more broadly than Trump has. A new poll shows President Trump and former Vice President Biden in the tight race for the White House. According to a Washington Post ABC News poll, Trump closed a 7-point deficit from February and is in a statistical tie with Biden. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, thanks, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Olympic Games are trying to lift the spirits of sports fans everywhere. As a top aide, John Coates told a Japanese newspaper the game's target date is July 23rd, 2021. IOC President Thomas Bach over the weekend.
We want, you know, this Olympic flame to be a light at the end of the tunnel. And it will need the effort of everybody and the contribution of all to make this happening, because the Olympic Games are the most complex event on this planet.
It's the first time the Games have been rescheduled. They were canceled in 1916, 1940, and 1944 because of World Wars I and II. Tough news from Knicks ownership over the weekend. Their owner, James Dolan, is tested positive for COVID-19. The team says he's feeling just mild symptoms, but has been in self-isolation and is expected to stay that way for the next couple of weeks. Dolan is 64. Then there was reason to celebrate on Sunday. A true gentleman, Knicks legend and broadcaster Walt Clyde Frazier turned 75. He credits his mother for keeping him humble as he came in the league over 50 years ago.
She always told me that once I became Clyde, when I'd come home, she'd just say, son, don't gain the world and lose your soul. Like, I would be home for 2 or 3 days and she'd go, you know, you're still the same. Even with all of my success, she could see that I was still the same person.
Frazier was a part of the only two Knicks championships in 1970 and 1973. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, thanks, Rob. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Straight talk about masks and coronavirus prevention. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The U.S. Surgeon General and a lot of other health authorities say masks won't slow the spread of the new coronavirus. Most of the evidence so far out of East Asia seems to indicate that, on the contrary, people keeping their mouths and noses covered is essential to controlling the disease. The official pronouncements about masks stem from legitimate concern that healthcare workers and others who really need them don't have enough masks, especially the N95 respirators that can protect wearers from viruses. And yes, healthcare workers should get priority. But the millions of people wearing simple surgical masks in public in China, Japan, South Korea, and so on, aren't so much protecting themselves as protecting others by interrupting the spread of the disease. We should be doing the same here, even if we have to use bandanas. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It's coming up to 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
The Trump administration is racing against the clock to lock in key pieces of its deregulation agenda and finish rules on auto emissions and coal plants before an obscure law opens the door to reverse his policies. Regulators are rushing to finish work as soon as the week ahead on some Trump initiatives, including relaxing fuel economy standards for vehicles and eliminating the legal basis for restricting mercury pollution from coal-fired power plants. The haste is needed to prevent the measures from being killed by Congress next year if Trump loses re-election and Democrats retake the Senate. The effort has been complicated by the coronavirus, which has distracted policymakers. Special powers to overturn recent regulations on a simple majority vote and without being held hostage by filibusters apply to regulations imposed by federal agencies within the past 60 legislative days. And that could shift sooner or later if the coronavirus causes changes to the congressional schedule. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Okay, Bob, thank you. Now some other stories we're following. Jefferies Financial Group Chief Financial Officer Peg Broadbent has died from complications tied to COVID-19. He was 56 years old. Broadbent had been CFO at the financial services company since 2007, following a 16-year career at Morgan Stanley. EasyJet has grounded its entire fleet after completing customer repatriation flights. The British discount carrier says it's in talks to build a cash cushion to see it through the coronavirus outbreak. And shares of Abbott Labs are up more than 10% in early trading. The medical devices maker unveiled a coronavirus test that can tell if someone is infected in as little as 5 minutes. This test is small and portable. It can be used in almost any healthcare setting. Futures have been swinging between gains and losses this morning. Right now, they are higher ahead of the open. S&P futures up 7 points right now. Dow futures a gain of 10 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 30 points. This is Bloomberg. And it's coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street. President Trump braces for an even longer fight against coronavirus. We speak next with Wendy Schiller, chair of the Political Science Department at Brown University.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. S&P futures now higher, up 7 points. Dow futures up 4. NASDAQ futures up 30. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 10/32nds, yield 0.64%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.25%. NYMEX crude oil is down 5.2% on $1.11 at $20.40 a barrel. And COMEX gold down 0.33% or $5.50 at $16.48.70 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump abruptly abandoned his ambition to return American life to normal by Easter from the coronavirus. The president said his guidelines for Americans to practice social distancing would remain in place until at least April 30th. The Tokyo Olympics, delayed because of the coronavirus pandemic, could now start in July of next year, according to NHK. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:48 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C., where social distancing is going to be a reality even longer to try to contain the coronavirus. President Trump made the announcement last night at the White House Rose Garden.
We will be extending our guidelines to April 30th. We want to make sure that we don't prematurely think we're doing so great. We may be, but we want to push it to the extreme.
That was Dr. Anthony Fauci of the National Institutes of Health at that same news conference. Governors on the front lines are already bracing for things to get worse. John Bel Edwards of Louisiana tells ABC's This Week, heard here on Bloomberg Radio.
We think the first real issue is going to be ventilators, and we think it's about the 4th or 5th of April before, down in the New Orleans area, we're unable to put people on ventilators who need them.
But states have been competing with each other for life-saving medical equipment. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer was on NBC's Meet the Press.
This is not something that we should be fighting each other on.
It should be everyone fighting COVID-19, right. Everyone versus COVID-19.
Meantime, businesses and unemployed Americans are waiting for that $2.2 trillion stimulus to filter into the economy. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin tells Fox News Sunday direct deposits should be on the way in about 3 weeks.
We're very sympathetic to the people who don't have jobs, and that's why the president was very clear that he wanted me to work with Congress on a bipartisan basis quickly to support those people.
Will the stimulus be enough? White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow tells ABC's This Week he hope so.
It's the largest mainstream financial assistance package in the history of the United States. So it's hard to know if we can get everything, help everybody, but I think I'm an optimist. I think the sheer resources here, we are putting in whatever it takes.
But after President Trump floated ideas like ranking counties by risk or opening the country by Easter, Democratic candidate Joe Biden tells Meet the Press.
He should stop thinking out loud and start thinking deeply. He should start listening to the scientists before he speaks. He should listen to the health experts.
And for more on all this, we're joined live now by Wendy Schiller, the chair of the political science department at Brown University. Good morning, Wendy. I wonder whether you think that's a valid criticism from the presumptive frontrunner in the Democratic race. Has the president been too erratic in his response to the pandemic?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, of course, Joe Biden has an interest in saying that, Nathan. And I think, you know, even I have said on this program with you that he has not been consistent, and that's a polite way of putting it. But for the last week, you know, after the Easter comment, for the last week, I think the president has been relatively consistent. He has, you know, obviously taken advantage of the bully pulpit and gotten FaceTime and press conferences, but nonetheless, he has sort of backed off a little bit. And, you know, the rumors about, oh, I'm going to fire Fauci, he's getting too good a press, he's, you know, counteracting me in press conferences, that all seems to have gone away for now. And he seems to have become, what Joe Biden says, thoughtful. You know, we went from 3 or 4 days ago, oh, maybe we can still open it up in some parts of the country, to a very stern, very somber, very consistent at this point with a lot of governors' policy, which is, you know, at least till the end of April. And I think that's a really hard thing for Americans to take. And if it's one thing that Trump, I think, has shown that he probably knows pretty well, is sort of instinct, human instinct. And it's hard to ask people to stay home indefinitely. So I think that's what he was searching for in giving us Easter and now the end of April. And, you know, it's likely that he probably has to extend that again. But at least for this past couple of days, he's been doing what he's supposed to do as President of the United States.
Do you get the sense then that the American people are sort of giving the president the benefit of the doubt at this point when he puts out aspirational ideas like reopening by the end of Easter and then pushing it back? And then if there is the possibility that it could be pushed back again, that the voters will forgive him for it, do you think?
Well, I mean, I just think, you know, part of this is, in a sense, voter transference of hoping this thing ends sooner rather than later. I mean, it's an unprecedented experience for almost all Americans. You know, we've been through, you know, the recession and 9/11, if you're old enough, and some other things, energy crisis in the 70s. But this, for children, for teenagers, for old people, for everybody, it's so unprecedented. And people want it to be over. So when he says, I think it can be over sooner, people are bound to say, yes, that's great news. We like that. He's doing a good job. I mean, I'm not being too simplistic, but people are human and they have hope. And he's trying to give them a little bit of hope, partially so that they stay home for a couple of weeks. Because if you think it's endless, you know, it's partially that it gets to you that you just don't obey anymore. So I think that's, I don't know if he's thought that through, but I think that's what you can see, what you're seeing in the polls. Do I think those polls will settle back down to his pretty much typical approval ratings? Yeah, I do. Do I think they'll crater in some way? No, but I think they won't stay, they won't get higher. You know, as this thing really hits home, we have a lot more deaths and the economic damage is extensive. I think it's going to be a hard thing for him to keep his approval ratings up. But you can understand why people are rooting for him now, because if you're rooting for him now, you're rooting for the country now.
Where do you see the president going in terms of getting a more cohesive policy approach when it comes to getting necessary medical equipment out, getting the businesses, perhaps through the Defense Production Act, to ramp up their production and distribution of these supplies?
Well, that's where I think he has not been very good. You don't pick a fight with General Motors if you want General Motors to translate their plants into producing protective equipment and masks and everything else. You know, we hear that supplies are coming in from China, where, you know, you sort of, I don't think it's been coherent at all. I think the trade issues, I think establishing negative relationships with people based on trade and manufacturing has not helped the president in trying to ramp things up. So I think bashing them in public is not a good strategy. That's something he should abandon. You have to treat it like a war. I guess that's the whole point. But then people who don't like Trump don't want to call it a war, really. They don't want to call him a wartime president because in war, you know, as I said, Americans tend to support the president. So there's some politicking going on here, both on the Republican side, but also on the Democratic side, not to give the president that appearance and that power just because they don't want to aggrandize him and make him more popular. So politics is still around. And that's, I think, in this case, unfortunate.
All right, Wendy Schiller, we'll have to leave it there for now. Look forward to checking back with you in the days and weeks to come. Wendy Schiller chairs the Political Science Department at Brown University. You can find all the latest news on the coronavirus pandemic on the Bloomberg Terminal at VRUS Go and at Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. The economic fallout from COVID-19 hitting small businesses hard, especially the restaurant industry. Johnny Constin is the third generation of his family to own and operate John's Grill in San Francisco. This is a landmark steeped in history. It was here that Dashiell Hammett wrote the Maltese Falcon. Johnny's with us now. And, Johnny, you own the building, so I guess that relieves a bit of the pressure. But tell us exactly how this is affecting John's Grill.
This is my first experience with something this catastrophic. It's been very, very sad for our family, for our staff specifically. So I had to get the staff together and have that very, very tough conversation with them because most of our staff has worked with us for 5 years. 10 years, 15 years, 30 years. So we have a long tenured staff. It was the saddest day of my professional career, I think. And we're all pretty much a family in there. Most of these guys have seen me grow up as a kid, you know? And so it was a really tough, tough time. We've got our staff on medical insurance until the end of April. And we will probably be one of the first restaurants to open our doors for patrons once COVID-19 is over.
Have you applied for assistance through the Small Business Administration or other sources?
Yes, so we're doing a GoFundMe for all of our staff. And if you go to GoFundMe.com and search John's Grill, it should be one of the first GoFundMes that you see. But in terms of relief fund, we're just playing it by ear with the government, and we're taking it day by day and seeing what the plans are and what the measures are and what the stimulus packages will include.
Johnny Constant, the third generation of his family to own and operate John's Grill in San Francisco, thanks for talking with us. In the coming days and weeks, we're going to continue to bring you stories of small business trying to survive in this trying environment right here on Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm John Tucker. That is your Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen, back to you.
All right, John Tucker, thank you. We're watching shares of Abbott Laboratories this morning up 8.3%. This is after the company unveiled a coronavirus test that can tell if someone is infected in as little as 5 minutes and is so small and portable it can be used in almost any healthcare setting. Futures this morning, S&P futures up 5.5 points right now. Dow futures down 16. NASDAQ futures up 28. But again, futures have been fluctuating between gains and losses all morning. So we'll continue to watch those as Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.